Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Friday, Washington's birthday.
It is indeed.
2013. Joining us this afternoon, Simple Country Therapist Lou Quimby.
Howdy, howdy.
Hi. I was talking about your bride yesterday.
Were you?
Yeah.
She was taking nourishment today. She's better, much better.
Good. On the rebound, as they say.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Good. So you guys will be dancing tonight?
No.
No, okay. Okay. Rebounding, but not
sitting
that
up,
crazy.
Taking nourishment.
Yeah,
right.
What is it? Step at a time.
No longer bedbound.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's always good to break the binds that tie.
Oh yes.
Yes. This afternoon we'll be talking about whatever it is that's associated with the quote that Mr. Quimby has in front of him.
We could, yeah, I suppose.
Yes,
yeah.
We'll contemplate and return.
Okay.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon. Today is Friday. It's 3:13. Lou's here. His book is ready. I'm here. I'm never ready.
The quote for the day. It's from Blaise Pascal. Kind words do not cost much. They never blister the tongue or lips. They make other people good-natured. They also produce their own image on men's souls, and a beautiful image it is. On the other hand, you can get more with a kind word and a gun than a kind word alone. I couldn't help myself.
Yeah, no, you know.
I couldn't help myself.
It's nice to know experience counts for something.
That's right.
Do you find sometimes listening to conversations is, not as a paid professional,
as I'm wont to do? No.
But just, wandering around where the use of words, is that an area of interest for you?
Oh, mercy, yes. The difference, say, between trying and doing, what is and what isn't fair, those are both 8 years old. It's not fair. Right. Well, yeah, whoever told you life was fair. I just haven't got this one on my mom. Mom, it's not fair. And then if mom is guilt-ridden, she goes, oh, I'm so sorry, honey. What do you think would be fair? Well, I think if you do everything my way, Mom, that would be fair. All right, dear.
That's a good working definition to begin with.
That's right. Right. And then the old trying versus doing. Trying is a word designed to get parents off your back, basically. Parents, bosses, authority figures, whatever. I'm trying to finish up this contract here.
Oh, well, don't let me interrupt you.
And then when will it be done? I don't know. I'm trying hard to finish it. I'm not really keen when I hear things like trying hard or it's not fair.
I try soft, frankly.
You what?
Try soft. I'm trying the softest I can.
Oh. Yeah. You just get out of my way.
Wouldn't it be fun if you... It would probably be a great comedic presentation of using, going back and forth like that. But you probably lose the audience after about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people are accustomed to listening.
No, they're pretty well steeped in the maneuvers, the avoidances, all like that. And then if you look at ABC of how to stop a conversation anywhere, anytime, under any circumstances, all you have to do is introduce anger, blame, and criticism. So if I'm listening to a conversation with three people, it's interesting to see how anger, blame, and criticism creep in. If it's with two people, they're generally talking about a third party not present. That's called gossip. And then it makes the other party responsible for something that they don't have to deal with. And I don't often hear, I'll own that. I'll take responsibility for that. I did that. I built that.
That one's on me.
That'd be the Armstrong, yeah. The Lance Armstrong admission. Right? Only after months and months and months of being beaten to a pulp.
Well, the kid that's the linebacker for the, was, I guess, now that he's done with the Notre Dame football team. You know, he had the fictional girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And then he starts talking about how he met her.
Oh, let me put a picture up on the internet.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, people build all sorts of houses in the air.
What's that about? Is that a protective thing?
Neurotics build castles in the sky. Psychotics live in them. And psychiatrists collect the rent. If you're neurotic and you build a castle in the sky, then that means you got both feet in the ground, except when you're looking inside your castle, hoping. And as far as I'm concerned, hope is not a method. It doesn't work that well. Particularly with couples. Well, I hope he'll change. I hope she'll change. Based on what? Oh, based on their wonderfully good nature. That's not the way change occurs.
Is that a learned behavior, or is there a genetic component to that?
No, it's pretty much learned behavior.
Okay, so anybody can social, turn if they want to?
Social-emotional manipulation, yeah. Yeah, change is done by decision. And if you make a decision to do a different procedure in the socio-emotional arena, if you make a decision to do something differently, then you say different words and you ask different questions. And then other people go, oh, darn, this isn't working anymore.
So how does someone who has had, let's say, 60 years of conflict avoidance become someone who feels comfortable with engagement in areas that they used to avoid?
Well, there's got to be a great big radio station involved in that. Remember everybody's favorite radio station?
WIIFM.
WIIFM. What's in it for me? And at 60, if they got 50 years of experience in maneuvering and hustling and manipulating, they better have a big grasp on what's in it for them to change.
How about just fatigue?
Well,
is that a big enough?
Physical change for some people is big enough. They find themselves now at the behest or at the dependency on others, and that gets pretty scary physically. And then if they find themselves dependent emotionally, now they really got an axe to grind.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 224. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. This afternoon we're talking a little bit about, kind words.
listening in on other people's
conversations. Yes, yes, eavesdropping.
If you're a Budinsky, then you want to control things.
I would think, we were talking during the break, when I think of where I probably listen to others most would be like in a line waiting for something.
Yeah.
You're a captive
audience.
Kind of there, people around and just kind of listening and giggling every once in a while and trying not to participate, but just to listen and observe is kind of an interesting frustration point for me. Big surprise, I know, for everybody. Mm. But to hear how words are being used, and I always wonder, is that the real word that was meant to be used, or the definition of that word, is that really what you meant when you use that word?
Well, words have two meanings, the denotation, which is in the dictionary, and the connotation, which is in the society. So people use words in all sorts of different ways. If you're going to strictly adhere to denotations, then you have to know what the definitions are. And there's frequently multiple definitions for the same word. But it's, and that's valuable, but it's also valuable to know what the connotations are. And most of the connotations have to do with manipulation and generally avoidance. So if somebody's using lots of avoidant words, it's useful to know what they are. Sort of, kind of, maybe, I guess, gee, I don't know, probably. Those are avoidant words. Now, most of the time, what they're avoidant of is a confrontation, you know, of the other person, asking a direct question. So if I've never met you before, I don't say to you, how do you feel about male pattern balding, big guy?
Why, well, I embrace it daily.
And if you don't care, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
I watched a mother and five or six-year-old kid walk by a guy in the mall who was a non-veteran. He only had one leg and he was in a wheelchair. And the kid walked to him and said, where's your other leg? And mother's going apoplectic at this point. And he was okay with it. So he said, I left it in Vietnam. I'm a combat veteran. And the kid, what's that? And so he explained it to him. The kid went, okay. And he and mom went on their way. Well, not everybody in a wheelchair is so disposed. And so mom teaches the kid what questions to ask and what questions not to ask. Okay. And that has to do with correct social behavior. And that's fine. But in a personal relationship, husband, wife, mother, child, father, child, there are questions that need to be answered. So kid says, Dad, why are you mad at mom? And he smacks the kid. Well, now the kid knows that dad being angry at mom is off limits. Somehow or another, anger is a toxic thing for the kid to inquire about or to recognize or to see. And so the next time daddy's mad at mom, maybe the kid becomes a little dancing boy or a little dancing girl to distract daddy from the anger, which is not authorized and toxic. And then, using that as an example, then the kid grows up and every time there's anger in his life, he does something to distract people from their feeling. So when he goes to therapy, then he has to learn that mad, sad, glad, and scared are all ordinary, normal, everyday feelings. And if he spent the last 20 years with his partner avoiding any kind of anger or irritation, there's a price to pay for that one, dancing around, dancing away all the time. And it can be anything from headaches or upset stomach or stress headaches or just the avoidance at home and then going to work and dumping anger on all the little people, as it were. But it's not acceptable in the family, which is what he learned as a kid. But it's okay to dump it at work on the little people. Well, now you get anger, blame, and criticism. So dad goes to work and dumps all of the built-up anger and irritation. Then he goes home and then refills himself. Then he goes to work the next day.
drinks of the well.
And drinks of the well.
Yeah, there I thought you the go. Timing might be appropriate
yeah, that's
for
right.
you.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are ordinary, common, everyday habit patterns. People can't do sadness because they never had permission for it. Then their partner dies, and they don't have any permission to be sad, one, or two, be angry because they've been abandoned.
I would think both of those are normal, too, aren't they?
They are indeed.
Okay.
So if a kid, for example, loses a parent, and the other parent says, don't be sad, mommy's in a better place. Well, what's a kid going to do with his hurt at that point? And if he's mad because mommy killed herself or ran off a cliff or drank herself to death or whatever reason mommy's gone, he's angry because he doesn't have a mommy anymore, and daddy says, you're better off. Oops. Now the kid's got to work with, I'm better off without a mommy.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
This is Fred Van Fleck, Eureka City Schools Superintendent. Exciting new things are happening in our district next year. Reducing our kinder through third grade class size to 23-1. Eliminating our combination classes in the reopening of Winship Middle School. Remember, we are the largest district on the North Coast, allowing us to have the most diverse course in extracurricular offerings. Enrollment is happening now. Please stop by the district office across from Eureka High School or visit the website at eurekacityschools.org.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Lou, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the concept of someone saying, get over it. It's not that big a deal. I would think that that's rather presumptive.
It's definitely presumptive, yes.
So how do you, if you are not wanting to say that, how do you quick check before you step in it? And well, if somebody is delivering that message to you, how do you go, well, no, I don't think so?
I'd say if you tell me to get over it, I'd say, why would I do that? Now, it's on you to explain why you think I should or could or would get over it, whatever that means to you. Now, remember the quote I like a lot. Feelings and opinions are frequently a personal triumph over good thinking. So you go, well, you should get over that. And I go, right, why would I do that? What's in it for me to get over that? And then you give me some bag of hot air, and I go, well, okay, interesting idea. How, H-O-W, how would I go about getting over that? And then it's up to you to tell me what the procedure is to get over it. Well, you know what I mean, just get over it. No, I don't know what you mean. What do you mean? So that's a throwaway, just get over it is a throwaway, because people's values are involved and people's feelings are involved. And if you don't investigate how their values are impinged or disrespected, or their feelings are impinged or disrespected, if you don't investigate that, then the other person is going to shut down. Now, that's taking it personally. If you do not take it personally, then you ask questions. Why would I do that? And then people go,
just a simple response.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean nothing by it. And I go, okay, then shut up. Oh, Lord of mercy. Right. So it's interesting. It's always interesting to ask questions because it's not personal. Why would I do that? How, in your opinion, thoughts, feeling, belief, would I do that? So what would I say to my mother again? What would I say to my wife again? What would I say to my kids again? How would that work? What do I do?
It's always dangerous to play with the trained professional, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's not always just the trained professional, but if you learn that one skill, what is and what is not personal, then you don't have to be reactive with big feelings or big opinions.
Well, what do you know?
I mean, that's reactive, and you know, he who angers you conquers you. So if you're not reactive with strong emotion, and you simply ask a question, well, it's an interesting idea. Get over it. How would I do that? And what would the benefits for me be? Now you're requiring that they think about what they've said, and tell you about it.
I think most people probably get fatigued pushing the string.
Well, you don't have
to. Well, I'm going to go talk to your brother.
Well, that's good. Let me know what he says.
Yeah.
And just keep him roped.
Just a little shot on the way out.
Tell me what he says.
And does it involve me?
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me what he said.
Oh, jeez. KINS, News and Information Times 340. We'll be back with more from Lou Quimby.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 343. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Lou, how do you get, with the stuff we've talked about, words, understanding, now if you're trying to cross a cultural line, whether if you're a internationally renowned traveler, such as the Quimbys, or you're somebody else who just, you know, maybe the kid brings home somebody from a different ethnic background. Let's say, okay, I'm German. Say somebody who's Italian and just trying to understand the differences of the celebration of Christmas between the two cultures.
Okay. Well, that celebration of Christmas is easy. It's the family values that are difficult, one, and the cultural family values that are one. And two, then there's idiosyncratic stuff within that that the person makes about their family of origin. So if he's got a mom who is alcoholic and a rager, then he either may be a rager himself or he may never raise his voice. If he's...
Is there a normal position or a middle ground position on that?
Oh, sure. Okay. We have to talk about those things. But if mom being alcoholic and raging is life-threatening for the kid from his perspective, you know, hit upside the head or thrown across the room very young, then he's going to be avoidant of any kind of acting out behavior. So he's going to keep it all inside and shunt it to one side. From my point of view, that isn't about culture. That's about decisions that kids make to survive when they're little. Cultural values have to do with a lot of celebration and who says what goes in a family, for example. So when I was going to Hong Kong to see my friend, I always look in the Yellow Pages when I go to different places to see how many therapists there are, how many pages went. So I looked in the Yellow Pages of Hong Kong, and there were 3 psychotherapists and 10 pages of massage therapist. So I asked the guy who was native Chinese, but had graduated from Humboldt State University, so he had plenty of cross-cultural experience. I asked him how come, and he said, well, Chinese men don't do psychotherapy. They go get a massage with a happy ending. And I said, what about the women? He says, the women stay at home and take care of the family. That was it. That's how they deal with their problems. That was it. Is there any more? And he said, no, that's about it.
Good thing you signed up for the right major when you were going through school, huh? you'd been poor.
So if I'm working with cultural Chinese people, I'm in serious trouble because I expect people to talk. And that means say how things are for them. And if they say, no, I'm not now, nor am I willing ever to be expressively angry at my husband, I go, okay, that's clear. Thank you very much. And then I got to proceed from there about why you're here and what do you want. I want my husband to stop hitting me. Well, now I got to talk to him. And I say, why do you hit your wife? He says, she doesn't respect me. Well, now there's a whole line of inquiry that's going on with that one. And that has to do with behavioral examples. if she respected me, she would do this and this and this and this my way. The husband being the head of the household, right? Sometimes that can, I can unthread that, pull those threads out, and sometimes it cannot. And if people aren't willing to talk, then it doesn't do any good. So I say, no charge for today. Thank you for your attention. And then it's done.
So there are certain inborn challenges?
The
multi-generational challenges?
Yeah, the hoopah people I have seen. I've made some mistakes with the power that men assume and should have, and the power that women assume and should have, and the amount of power that men have and women have in the tribe varies from couple to couple, and some of them were willing to talk about it and some were not. So a lot of the maneuvering for power goes on without words. So they manipulate to get power. And I'm not real keen on manipulating to get power because there's always a price to pay for the manipulation. And generally the price to pay is peace of mind, comfort, and I'm not real keen on that. So to that extent, I'm culture bound for basically Caucasian round eye folks, right? But I can help in terms of health and safety, dignity, and agreements based on my definitions of those things. Dignity being no naming, blaming, or shaming. But if you get into anger, blame, and criticism, well, that automatically starts control struggles.
What about cross-religious?
Well, I got two approaches. One is if you're Taoist and I'm Buddhist, then we agree to be different. You're Jewish, I'm Catholic. We go to temple one week and church the next, and when the kids are 14, they make up their own mind. That's a agree to disagree. If you get into a power struggle about who's right about religion, it is a no-win situation. Because religion is based on faith. And you can't argue or prove faith.
Better to start over?
Discuss other things.
The old Spock eyebrow pops up there. Well, we'll just leave it at that. Let folks consider it over the weekend. Thanks for coming by, Lou.
You bet.
We've been Talking Shop with Lou Quimby. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning. I would think of it.